Today's shir is Masechta Baba Metzia, Daf Chaf. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Yotes Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. Teaches us the Gemara Tan Rabbanan Matzah Shaiva. If we find the receipt which a woman had written to her husband indicating that he had paid her the ksuba, says the Braisa Bezman Shisha Maida, in a situation where the woman admits that is indeed what happened. Yachs labal, the halacha is we should give it back. We should give it back to the husband. Ein ishmaida, but if the woman is not agreeable that she already got paid out, yachs leilazev leilazev, we don't give back the receipt to anyone. And that's indeed the halacha in Shulchan Aruch, that if the woman agrees, that we give it back to the husband. The Sma actually says that is not the halacha, because we need to be concerned, as we've been learning a number of times in our Masechta, we need to be concerned for Kanunya that maybe the husband and the wife made some sort of a conspiracy that she should be able to collect the ksuba another time. Says the Gemara, Ishamayda, in a case where the woman agrees that she has been paid out of ksuba, yachsa l'bal, we give back the ksuba to the husband. We give it the shaver back to the husband. But ask the Gemara, why should we not be concerned? V'leichish, why should we not be concerned that kosva litei benissen, that he thought the shaver was written in nissen, because that's when he had intended to pay her out, but he didn't actually pay her out. He didn't actually pay out the obligation onto Tishrei. Often we find in Shas that a woman could sell a ksuba. Now, obviously, selling a ksuba has to be sold at a steep discount, because, first of all, who says that she will ever collect the ksuba? And even if she will be successful in collecting the ksuba, because her husband will die before her, or her husband will divorce her, we don't know when that's going to be. So somebody who buys the ksuba buys it at a toivus hanor, which is at a discount, but it's sold at that price. But why should we not be concerned, asked the Gemara, that she sold the ksuba in Nisan, and but he actually did not, sometime between Nisan and Tishrei, and then when the ksuba is collected, when it comes to collect the ksuba, there's going to be a dispute if he's entitled or not. That if the husband will die or divorce her, so is she entitled to the ksuba, or was it sold? And it'll depend if the ksuba had already been paid out. And what's going to happen is, the ksuba was sold sometime between Tishrei and Nisan. Between Nisan and Tishrei. And therefore, if she hadn't received payment for the ksuba yet, so that was a very valid sale. And when the husband dies or divorces her, the buyer of the ksuba will be entitled to that ksuba. But if she's able to show that the ksuba was paid out before that sale took place, then the sale was not valid. So the receipt is very important, and if the receipt has a date but it didn't happen till later, she shouldn't be entitled to the ksuba. Mapa gleila shoiva, what's going to happen is she's going to take out the ksuba, the kasa b'nissen, that was written in nissen, v'asav l'mitrif, and the husband will take l'kuchish like a dim, because they weren't allowed to take the ksuba. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava Shmamina. From here we see that Shmuel teaches us, Isad l'Shmuel. There's another halacha that Shmuel has taught us, Dama Shmuel. Shmuel teaches us, Hamaychash Darchoyev l'chaveri. Somebody sells a receivable, which of course is completely common in the world of business. Somebody sells a receivable, and then the receivable says that Reuven owes Shimon money, and Shimon sells that receivable. And the question is, can now v'chazru imachol, can Shimon, even though he is not anymore the owner of that receivable. He had sold that receivable, forgive that debt. The halacha is that he can. Not only can he, but even Yairish, his Yairish could be meichel the debt. And therefore, the halacha here is, says the Gemara, the halacha is that even if the woman had sold the ksuba, and had sold the ksuba prior to the obligation, prior to the husband doing anything, the halacha is she could be meichel the ksuba, and she will anyway cause that the person who bought the ksuba will have nothing. And therefore, there's no concern that maybe the shoiva was written earlier, because she could have been meichel anyway. So of course, there's a very big machlokes rishonim, how to understand this halacha. Why is there a halacha that a woman could be, that a person could sell such a document, and even though the person sells the document, you could be meichel that document? Some explain, some rishonim say, because the entire concept of selling shtari chayiv, of selling such obligations, is only midrabanan. And since the entire concept is only midrabanan, that's why the sale is really not halachically considered a full-fledged sale. That's one approach that the Rishonim take. Rabbeinu Tam, however, has a very interesting approach. He says, whenever we have a document, whenever we have a shtar, which represents that somebody owes somebody else money, there's really two elements to that document. One element of that document is that he owes him money. And that's certainly something that could be sold, that he doesn't owe me, I'm transferring it. But then he suggests there's another part to a sale. And the other part to the sale is a shibud, that a person, when he borrows money, he takes on a personal obligation that he has to repay. That part can never be sold. And since that's an integral part of every document, and that part cannot be transferred, that is specific to the malva and the loiva. Therefore, says Shmuel, even though you sold it, the halacha is you can be meichel it, because that part, explains Rabbeinu Tam, in explaining the opinion of Shmuel, cannot be sold and can always be forgiven. Abai Omer, Abai says, afil tema leisa de Shmuel. Even if we don't follow the opinion of Shmuel, hachav ma'iskinim, here we're referring to a situation, b'shtar ksuba yoytze mitachs yada, when the ksuba is being shown by the woman. And therefore, we don't have to be concerned that she sold the ksuba to somebody else. Because if she sold it to somebody else, obviously the person that she sold it to would be holding on to the ksuba. Rav Amar, Rav says, why don't I agree with Abaya? Imshum shtar ksuba, if you're saying that the ksuba, she's still holding on to the ksuba, the fact that she's still holding on to the ksuba is an indication that she didn't sell it, because had she sold it, why is she holding on to it? Says the Gemara, says Rav, I am concerned, I'm worried that she maybe has two ksubas. And therefore, even though she's showing that she has a ksuba, there still may be another ksuba, which is the one that she sold. How does Abaye respond? Abaye Amar, Chada, one, Shtei ksubas lo chashinin. I'm not concerned that for two ksubas. It's uncommon that there should be two ksubas. Void, and furthermore, even if she sold the ksuba, shoiva bezmano taruf. Somebody who gets a receipt, even if the receipt is predated, that means the case that we're speaking about, that the shoiva has a date of Nissan, but we're suggesting that it wasn't paid till Tishrei, the halacha teaches us that when the date of the shoiva, that is the date where we follow. And therefore, even if the actual ksuba had not been paid till Tishrei, but if the shoiver has a date of Nissan, that is the date that we follow. Because the halacha of a shoiver is that the date written in the shoiver is always the date that we follow. Where does Abaye get this from? So says the Gemara, it's something that Abaye taught us on Daf Yud Gimel, because Abaye l'tamei, Abaye is following his opinion that he taught us earlier, that as far as the Edom, as soon as the Edom sign a shtar, that gives them all of the rights, that makes the shtar, that, so to speak, activates the shtar. And therefore, here too, the date of the shaver, immaterial to when it was actually paid, is the date that the halacha recognizes as when the shtar is active. And therefore, if she indeed sold the ksuba after that date, it would be a meaningless sale. Says the Mishnah, Matza Igrishum. If, again, the Mishnah continues discussing the halachas of different documents that are found, how does the halacha view those situations? So says the Matza Igrishum, if you found Igrishum. So Rashi explains that Igrishum is that Bezdin, when a loiva owes a malva money and he's not paying, so Bezdin assesses the value of the loiva's assets to know how much they're worth that they can be used to pay off his debt. Igris mozoin is if somebody took upon himself to support his wife's daughter, that's called igris mozoin. That so Ritva explains that what to understand this Gemara is that it's not the Mishnah, when the Mishnah speaks here about Igris Shum and Igris Mazon, it isn't exactly like Rashi explained. Because the Ritva suggests that the Mishnah says, Komas Abezdin. And that's, so therefore the Igris Shum and Igris Mazon that Rashi describes were already mentioned later in the Mishnah. And therefore he explains that Igris Shum is to determine if a woman, if a husband is not supporting his wife, how much does Bezdin assess has to be paid? Rabbeinu Tam says that a different shot. Rabbeinu Tam says that Bezdin evaluates the value of the amount that the loiva owes the malva, and the same how much the support for the year is, and they're used as a document that the wife, the children could use to collect. The Shita, I saw, has another opinion. The Shita explains that they assess the value of a property. That means, again, the loiva owes the malva money. And the loiva doesn't have the liquid assets to pay off his debt. So as we keep on learning, we go after the property of the loiva. And Bezdin evaluates, or has somebody evaluate, the value of those properties. After Bezdin, after that is done, what happens is Bezdin after makes that evaluation says, is there anybody who perhaps is prepared to pay more than what we evaluated? Because we're looking out for the benefit of the loiva that he shouldn't have to pay more than he has to. And if we could find somebody that will pay more, fine. If we can't find anybody that will pay more, that's the amount that the malva could take from the loiva's asset. So again, says the Mishnah, Matza Igris Shum Vigris Mazon, if these type of documents that we just explained were found in the street, or Shtari Chalitza, a document that indicates that there was a Chalitza, or Miyunin, the halacha is that Midaraisa, a father, can marry off his daughter when she is a ktana, when she's below 12 years old. The halacha is that special right is only given to a father. It's not given to anyone else. And what happened here was that there was a girl whose father unfortunately passed away, or as we often say in our shurim, you could have a case of Yisayma B'chayav, where the father had married off his daughter, and then the father, and then that marriage ended, divorce, or the husband died, that the halacha is that a father could only marry off his daughter once. Now, even though this girl is still a ketana, she's considered in the halacha a yusayma b'chaya av, and therefore nobody has the right, and she's still a ketana, so if she marries herself off, obviously the Kedusha will not be considered a full-fledged valid Kedusha because she's a Ketana. But the Torah gave, the Chazal gave the right to the mother to marry her off. When Chazal gave the right to her mother to marry her off, it's only Kedusha Derabbanan. And therefore, as long as if she wants to terminate this marriage, or maybe better said, annul this marriage, as long as she's below Bas Mitzvah, she may, as long as she's below Bas Mitzvah, she may do so. And that's called Miyun. And if indeed that's what happened, there was a Miyun, Beis Din would write a document indicating that there was a Miyun. And again, such a document is found, or Shtari Beruin. Shtari Beruin we'll discuss more in the Gemara. And then, as we learned before, the Mishnah continues by saying, Komas Beis Din, any type of document that Beis Din writes, all of them, the halacha is, if somebody finds such a document, hareza yachser, we give back the document to the person for whom it was written. Because we could assume that if Beis Din wrote such a document, they didn't do it just to prepare. We keep on discussing in our sugyas documents that might have been prepared, but were never used. But Beis Din, the fact that they wrote this document is clearly an indication that this is what happened. Matza, chafitza, or deluskuma. If you found different types of pouches, kalim, that you find documents in them, and the person who says the document belongs to him is able to give a simon on this case, tachush shtaris, and you find a bundle of shtaris, and the person could identify how many shtaris there were, or yagudish shtaris, one shtar on top of another shtar, in all these cases, hareza yachzer. Somebody could give a simon that these documents belong to him, we could rely on those on that simon. Now ask the Mishnah, the kama agudish shtaris. What is the definition of agudish shtaris? Says the Mishnah, shloishik surim zebzeh. If you have three documents tied together, then it's considered an agudish shtaris. And we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, the reason is, because if it's two, so obviously if he said, I found a pile of shtaris, it must mean two. So saying the number two is not indicative. Three is an indication that it's a good simon. Shimon Galaimah, Echad Halayva Mishloish, if somebody found three documents, and they're all from one loiva, and this one loiva has three documents that he borrowed from three different people, that's an indication that these documents fell from the loiva. And therefore, the halacha will be yachzal loiva. They should be returned to the loiva. However, if shloisha lovim min echad, if there's three documents with one malva and three loivas, then the halacha is yachzal malva. That's an indication, says Rav Shimon Gamliel, that it fell from the malva. There's interesting machloikas in the Rishonim and the Achronim. How to understand the opinion of Shimon Gamliel? Is Rav Shimon Gamliel arguing with the Tanakhama? Or is Rav Shimon Gamliel not arguing with the Tanakhama? He's coming up with these unique situations that he finds as a proof in, as we just learned, in one way or another. And there's a machloikus, Rishonim and Achronim, if there's a machloikus between Tanakhama and Shimon Gamliel, or Shimon Gamliel and Tanakhama don't argue. Matzah shtar, bein shtarosav. If somebody found a document that has nothing to do with him amongst his documents, and he doesn't know why is this shtar here. That means there's a shtar that says Reuven owes Shimon money. But he now has a question. Does it mean that, so he's not a party to this transaction. But he doesn't remember, was it the Malva who left the shtar with him for safekeeping? Or was it the Loiva who left the shtar by him for safekeeping? So the halacha is, Yemonach Achiyav Aliyah. The halacha is, we can't do anything with the shtar because we don't know the status of the shtar. And the halacha is Yemunach Atshiyava Elio. I saw there was once a Rebbe learning with his Talmidim this Mishnah. And he asked his Rebbe, Eliyahu Navi is only an Eid Echad. So what does the Mishnah mean when it says, Yemunach Atshiyava Elio? We leave it until Eliyahu Navi comes. Even if we leave it until Eliyahu Navi comes, it shouldn't be satisfactory because we should be concerned that Eliyahu Navi is only one aid. So the Rebbe told him is that Eliyahu Navi, when Eliyahu Navi comes, there will be such a spirit of emes, of honesty in the world, that even the person who now maybe was somewhat dishonest, when Eliyahu Navi comes, that world will end. And we're going to live in a world of honesty. And we won't have, and it's not that we're going to need Eliyahu Navi to say who's the owner of the shtar. People on their own are going to say the truth. Says the Mishnah further, Im Yesh Imam Simpoinus, that means if somebody found, the Malva found the shtar, and he also finds a shiver that he paid off the loan. Now the question is, on one hand he still has the shtar, which indicates that the loiver still owes him money. On the other hand, he has a simpoinus. Simpoinus means that he has a receipt, which means that he got repaid for it. And of course, the question is, the receipt shouldn't be by the malva. The receipt should be by the loiver. So the answer is that maybe it's a case where the loiver had so much confidence in the malva that he let him hold on to the shiver. And therefore, and nobody remembers exactly what happened here. And since nobody remembers what happened here, therefore, the Mishnah says, Yasim Hashem Simpoinus, we assume that the shiver is what's correct. Says the Gemara, we learned that if you found shtari berurin, what should be done with it? Ask the Gemara, my shtari berurin. Says, ask the Gemara, what exactly is shtari berurin? Says the Gemara, hocha tergum, and Bavel, they explain, shtari tanaisa, the people, the lawyers, would write, not the lawyers, the court stenographers, the court scribes, would write down the tainus of both sides of the Din Torah. Rav Yirmiya, who lived in Eretz Yisrael, Omar, that the Mishnah Masechta Sanhedrin teaches us that one of the ways a Beis Din can be convened is Zebar Le'echad, Zebar Le'echad, that each one of the parties pick a Dayan, and then these two Dayanim pick a third Dayan, and then the halacha is that's a Shtar Berurin. Now, what is the value of the Shtar Berurin? So the way I saw the Rishonim explain is that once the two parties to the Din Torah agreed on their Berurim, the halacha is that they can't, and they committed this into writing, the halacha is that they can't go back on it. And if they now choose that they want to have a different Berur, too late. We learned in the Mishnah, V'kamas Abezdin, Hareza Yechser. Says the Gemara, who get the dishtech, the din of the Rav Huna? There was a get, Mekuyim, that was found in the Bezdin of Rav Huna. Davik Sibbe, the get was written, it says in the get, B'shvirei Masa, Dal Rochus Nahara, in the city of Shviri, which is in the name, which is next to the river. And there's a question amongst the Rishonim, is the name of the river closest to the city absolutely essential to the kashrus of a get? Some, the Beis Yosef says, he quotes the Ran, that says, even though our Gemara seems to say that the get had the name of the river that was closest to the city where the get was written, it's not, says the Beis Yosef, because that's absolutely essential, that the get is not kosher without that. But rather, explains the Beis Yosef, there were two cities with the name Shviri. So in order to be able to identify in which of the Shviri cities was this get written, they were able to identify it was by writing the closest river. That means, according to the Beis Yosef, if we don't have to be concerned that there are two cities with the same name, we wouldn't have to write the name of the river. Our minig is that we write the name of the river, and the question comes up when there's a city that isn't near a river, or even if there's a city next to the river, but we're not clear how to spell that in Hebrew, then the question is where to write a get. So again, the get was written, the Shviri Masad La Rochus Nara, that was written in the get. Amar of Huna, even though we don't have a reason that to believe that there's anybody else, any other couples with the same name, Chashinen L'Shnei Shviri. We have to be concerned that there's another city or that there are other people that have the same name. That's the way Rashi learns. The Tosfos doesn't say it as a kasha, but the Gemara's Tosfos learns it as a question. Rav Huna was asking, need we be concerned? Amalei Rav Chisda L'Rabba. So Rav Chisda told Rav Huna, Rav Chisda, who was the Talmud of Rav Huna, told Rabba, Puk Ayin, go look into this subject. The Lord to Baile Rav Huna, in the evening, Rav Huna is going to ask you, what do you think? And this is, as I saw the Mefarshim explain, a proof to Tosfos Pshat. It wasn't that Rav Huna definitively said that the get is unacceptable. He wasn't sure, and he said, I want to hear Rabbi's opinion. The Tanan, what is the question? Because we just finished learning in our Mishnah the Kol Ma'aseh Bezdin Harei Zeh Yachzer, that whenever we find this type of a document, and here, as I said, the Rishonim learned that this was not just a get, but it was a get that was Mekuyim, it was a get that was certified, we don't have to have, there's no reason to be concerned. Amalei Rav Amram L'Rava, so and that's why Rava said we could be comfortable and give back the get. Amalei Rav Amram L'Rava, Hechi Pashat Yisuru M'mayna. Our Mishnah is speaking about Dina Mominus. It's speaking about a financial situation. And therefore, in such a situation, the Mishnah is not that concerned. But in a case like that you're discussing, which is a question of Eishes Ish, that is much more of a question. Says the Gemara, Amalei Tarda. So Rav said to Rav Amram, Tarda, you're not being clear. Shtarim Chalitza Miyunim Tanan. Ham, we learned in our Mishnah about Shtarim Chalitza Miyunim, which are also Isser. Says the Gemara that, and still our Mishnah says, even though we're speaking about Shtarim Miyunim, Shtarim Chalitza, that we could Ma'aseh Bezdin Yachzer. Says the Gemara that as Rav and Rav Amram were having this discussion, Parka Arza de Beirav, the beam on which the Beis Medrash was standing broke. Ma'am Shum Lasai de Deepaka, it broke because of me. I mean, each one of them said that the one who was arguing with me was the one that was wrong. And it was and because of my honor, because of my covet, the beam broke. And here we have a question. Ma Amar Mishum Lasai de Deepaka. Rav Amram said it because it was my Amram, my covet, or Ma Amram Mishum Lasai de Deepaka. And of course explains that the Mashah, that it wasn't that that's what they said. Nobody would talk in such an arrogant manner. He said that Menashemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was concerned about my honor. So here the Gemara said that maybe by Dine Mominus we can be lenient and give back the Shtar, but not by Isser. And that's why the Gemara said that a get may be different than a Ma'aseh Bezdin. Then the Gemara says, well, our Mishnah also speaks about Shtari, about Gittin, about Shtari Chalitz and Shtari Miyunin. So Tosfos asks, why is the Gemara so quick to assume that we're stricter by Isser than by Mammon? We can make an argument that we're stricter by Mammon than by Isser, because the halacha is en holchin be Mammon acharoiv, and by Isser, there is no such halacha that en holchin acharoiv. So why is the Gemara assuming that we're stricter by Isser than by Mammon? So Tosfos answers that by Isser, when it speaks to Isha Sish, we also don't rely on Rav. Because as the Gemara often tells us, that the halacha is that if a husband fell into Mayim Sheb Elam Saif, into deep water, into ocean, we don't assume that he died. So we see that by Isser, we're also Machma. The question that many Achronim ask, however, is that what was the Gemara's response? Well, our Mishnah also speaks about Isser, because our Mishnah speaks about Shtari Miyunin and Shtari Chalitza. And the question is that Miyun and Chalitza are not a get. So maybe a get was strict, but not by Miyun and Chalitza. So Mekiva answers that a Chalitza, a woman that needs to have Chalitza, is in the same category in Halacha as a woman who is an Eishes Ish. And what's the raya? They say a very interesting raya. The raya is what will be the halacha if a woman has to have chalitza yibum from her brother-in-law. And her brother-in-law, similar case to what we just learned, her brother-in-law fell into Mayim She'elam Saif. Will we allow this woman to get remarried or not? The halacha is that we won't let her get remarried. So we see that it has the same consequence. So the Achroidim ask the obvious question. We have here a debate. So Rav Amram said to Rava that you can't bring a raya from our Mishnah because our Mishnah is Dinei Mominus. To which Rava said to Rav Amram, and he actually expressed himself quite sharply, he said that our Mishnah, Tarda, our Mishnah speaks about Chalitza Miyun. Rav Amram obviously knew our Mishnah. So how did Rav Amram, what was Rav Amram's thinking? So I saw that the Achroinim explained that there's a difference between Shtar Chalitza Miyun versus a get. A Shtar Chalitza Miyun, sort of simple teretz, is before we go further, is what we just said a moment ago. That we said a moment ago, it's not clear that we should treat a woman who has to have chalitza, or a woman that only has a kedusha de rabbanon, the same as an eishes ish. And therefore, Rav Amram's thinking was, don't compare the two. That is one way of learning. The other way of learning is that what Rav Amram, the other way of learning is that what Rav Amram meant to say, what Rav Amram meant to say was that the Shtar Miyun and Chalitza aren't what create the Chalitza. In other words, a get is the document through which the marriage is terminated. The Chalitza and Miyun document that we're discussing isn't the document that actually terminates, that makes that there was a Chalitza or makes that there was a Miyun. The chalitza or the miyun take place because they take place, no matter how they're supposed to take place. The chalitza and miyun documents are only here as a shtar raya that there was a chalitza, that there was a miyun. And therefore, Rav Amram's thinking was that they shouldn't be considered the same, because only in a case where they create that situation are they to be compared to a get. This is going to be compared to a get. The Gra and the Ein Elio says, what's pshat in the story when the Gemara says, Poka Arza, that the beam broke? He says, the Pasuk says that a tzaddik is compared to an erez. An erez is a strong tree that is like the beam. Because the Pasuk says, Ke erez bevonon yishga. So he says that a tzaddik is the Yisoid Olam. The Gemara says the tzaddik is the foundation of the world. And the way to understand here is when one tzaddik offended the other tzaddik, what really is happening here is that the foundation of the world, if a tzaddik is offended, the foundation of the world, the tzaddik, who is the foundation of the world, he has been affected. And therefore, to show that, the beams of the Beis HaMidrash broke. We learned in the Mishnah, Matzah b'chafisa b'deloskuma, if the documents that were found in a chafisa or deloskuma, so ask the Gemara, my chafisa, what exactly is a chafisa? Omer Rabba b'bachana, chemis ketana. It's a small pouch that they used to use for wine. My deloskuma, says Gemara Omer Rabba Shmuel, talika desavi. It was like some sort of a case, so I guess a briefcase that used to be used. So Tysus asked the question, how could the fact that a document or documents are found in a briefcase be a raya? Many people carry documents in briefcases. So why is carrying it in a briefcase a document? So Tysus answers, it's not that it's good enough that they say that, well, it was found in a briefcase. What it means is that they were able to give a simon in the briefcases. And since they were able to give a simon in the briefcase, that's going to be good enough. And Tysus goes on to explain that, fine, you gave a simon in the briefcase. The Mishnah is teaching us that we don't have to be concerned that he lent his briefcase to somebody else. The halacha is that if you could bring a proof that it was in the briefcase, and you could bring a simon in the briefcase, then that will be good enough of a simon, that will be a good enough reason to return the document to you. We learned further in the Mishnah, Tachrish Ashtaris are good Ashtaris. Tara Rabbanim, Kamu Tachrish Ashtaris. What does it mean, a Tachrish Ashtaris? Shloisha Kruchim Zeh Bezeh. If you have three documents tied to each other. The Kami Yegudish L'Shtaris, you have one of three, Shloisha Shtaris, Shloisha Kshur Zubazah, Shamna, says the Gemara. From here it seems that we have a Raya, that Kesher is a Simon, that if somebody was able to say that these documents were tied together this way, it'll be a Simon that it should be returned to him. Says the Gemara, Hatani Abchia, Shloisha Kruchim Zubazah, he says that they were put together. They weren't even tied together. So what's the raya? Says the Gemara, Ihachi, if the Rav Chi is right, that means that you have these three documents together, Hainu Tachrich. The Mishnah already mentioned Tachris. Says the Gemara, Tachris kol chad b'rosh dechavri. When you have a Tachrich, the way the three documents are connected is one, each one is tied one after the other, and Aguda is the Rami Adadi Kruchis. And Aguda is when they're on top of the others. Says the Gemara, why do we have to have three? We spoke about this, not just two enough. My Machris, says the Gemara, because you announce the the one that finds it, that if he says the minion, that he's going to announce the number, so then what's the specialty of three if the person who's finding it is saying the number? Says the Gemara, feel trei nami. Saying two should be good enough as well if you're relying on the simon for being tied together. El says the Gemara, Ela kedama Ravina. As we're going to learn, Ravina teaches us in the next perek, where Ravina teaches us on daf chof heyom and aleph that the halacha is that if you find hamotzi shalosh matbei zel gavzeh, you find three coins one on top of the other, tiva machris, all he says that I found coins, and the person who found it says how many coins there were. Hachnami, what happens here is that the person who finds the documents announces shtori machris, he announces that I found documents. So if the person who's going to come and say, well, there were two documents, that's not going to be a very compelling proof, because the plural always means two. But if he says that there were three, how did you know that there were three? That's a proof that he knows what he's talking about and they belong to him. Says the Mishnah, Shimon Gamliel Omer, if you find a document, if you find documents together that indicate Echad HaLoiva Mishloisha, one loiva from three different malvis, one loiva for three different malvis, then the halacha is Yachzal loiva. Says the Gemara, why? These Hakadatach the Malvininu. If we're going to say that they belong to the Malva, my boy Gaba Hadadi, why would they all be next to each other? So it must be, why would three different malvus documents be by the same loiva? It must be because it's all the loivas and not the malvus. Ask the Gemara, why is that not approved? Dilma, maybe what happened was, Shul Communia Oslo, these three malvus went together to Besdin to have this document certified, as we've learned, Kiyum Shtaris, and the Dayanah put a henkpik, a certification on the document. Says the Gemara, that we're speaking about a case, the Mekaimi, that these documents are already certified. So the concern that maybe they were being taken to be certified, obviously, is not relevant. Ask the Gemara, but maybe what happened here was that the documents were taken to Beis Din for certification, and Dilma Miyada the Safra Nafel, and it fell out of the hands of the Beis Din. Why do we say that it belongs to the Malva? Answers the Gemara, Loi Mashi Inish Kiyum Miyada the Safra. Nobody leaves the documents that were taken for certification with the Beis Din. They immediately take them home. Shlosh Shalova Ma'achud. But if we, on the other hand, find a document, three documents, one malva, three different loivas, that's an indication that they fell from the malva. Shloish shalovim achad yachsla malva. Ask the Gemara, the Yisak Adatach, the Lovaninu, if they were by the loiva, by these three different loivas, the question is, my boy Gaba Adadi, what's the connection? Why would these three documents be together? Asked the Gemara, Dilma, maybe what happened was, L'mechtevinu Azli, the three different loivas went to the Sofer at the same time to have documents written on their behalf. And that's how the documents fell. Answers the Gemara, the reason we're not concerned about that is the Ksiva B'Tlas Yadid the Safri. It was written by three different Soferim. So we can't be concerned that it was three, that was the three loivas happened to have gone to the same Sofer at the same time. But then asked the Gemara, but Demel Kiyumi Azla, maybe they went at the same time to have their documents certified. Answers the Gemara, Malva Mekayim Shtarei. Who's the one that's interested in having the documents certified? The Malva. Loiva Mekayim Shtarei. That's not something that the Loiva is interested in, and therefore that isn't a concern. We learned further that if somebody finds, a Malva finds a document that he owes money, that he's owed money, but he also finds in amongst his documents Simpinus, then the halacha is that we do Yasimashep Simpinus. Amar Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba Amar Rav, Simpin hayoytzi mitachas yad Malva, that the Malva has the Shiver, Api shekos b'ksav yadai, even though it's written in the Malva's hand, En elak masachik, it's considered that the Malva was just playing games or puzzle. And the halacha is that you could still use the document. Loi mebaya, says the Gemara, Api shekos b'ksav yadai. Says the Gemara, the way to understand is as follows. The loi mebaya kos b'ksav yadai shel soifer. Certainly, in soifer, when it was written where the soifer wrote the receipt, we could say that the receipt is meaningless because what happened here was, diklamei masafer samalei v'kosov. The Malva knows that the Loiva owes him money. The Malva knows that when the Loiva is going to pay him back, what he's going to be asking for is a shiver. And there was a cipher available. So since there was a cipher available, what the Malva did was, he asked the cipher that it was available, write me the shiver so I should have it when the Loiva comes to pay. And that the loiva should not have a reason not to pay me, he says, because you don't have a shaver. Ella filo kosbik sav yadoi. Even if it was the malva himself who wrote it, posel. Sover, because we assume that what was the malva's thinking? The malva's thinking was, Dilma misram v'osu b'nishmoshes. Maybe the loiva is going to come to pay me by b'nishmoshes right before Shabbos, the kaparli, and he's going to decide right before Shabbos he's want to pay me. But he's going to say, "De lo yahavneli, if I won't have a shaver to give him, then lo yahavneli zuzi, he won't give me back the money. And I want to be able to get back the money, so I prepare a shaver. Echtav anah, let me prepare a shiva. When he gives me the money, etenle, I'll have it ready prepared to give it to him, and he wouldn't have an excuse not to pay me. Ask the Gemara, but we just learned in our Mishnah, Tanan, im yesh imam seponis, if a malva finds amongst his documents a shiver, yasim ashev seponis, we have to follow the shiver. But we just finished learning that there are reasons that somebody would write a shiver, strong reasons why somebody would have a shiver written, even though the loan wasn't paid. Answers the Gemara, Kedam Rav Safra. As Rav Safra is going to teach us later in the Masechta, in a different question, Shenimtza ben Shtar Sakruim. This document was found amongst the documents that are torn up, that he normally, that's where he puts those documents. So there, says Rav Gemara, that even Rav Yirmiya, who says that the finding of a shiver is not definitive in any way that he paid off the loan, here, there's much stronger reason to believe that the shiver is a valid shiver, because he put this document, the loan document of that's owed amongst the ripped up shtaris. That's a proof that this document was paid up. Hachinami shematzah ben shtaris akruin, says the Gemara. The Mishnah says in Masechta Babasra, Tavashma, the Mishnah Masechta Babasra, Kuf Ayin Beis Oman Aleph, where you have a city that has two people with the same name, Yosef and Shimon. V'nimtza le'echad ben shtarosoi, and somebody finds amongst his documents a document that says, Shtarish le Yosef and Shimon Peru, that Yosef and Shimon, who owed me money, paid me up. And there are two Yosef and Shimons in that city, and this person lent money to both Yosef ben Shimon. So now the question is, which of these two obligations were paid up? Says the Mishnah, the halach is, shtaris shneim pruim. He can't collect from either person. It follows the halacha, the hamoitzi mechaveroi olav haraya. So what do we see? That we see from here that each one of them could say, I paid you. And the shoiva that you have is to me, and hamoitz mechaveroi olav haraya. So we see from here again, asked the Gemara, the fact that I'm holding a shoiver is an indication that I got paid. Unlike what Rabbi Yirmiya said, that holding a shoiver is not necessarily a proof that you got paid. Again, says the Gemara, we're going to explain that the Mishnah over there is as Rav Safra explains, shenimtza b'shtaris kruim, hachinami shenimtza b'shtaris kruim. Toshima. The Mishnah in Masechta Shavuos, Daf Mem Heyom and Aleph discusses that if a malva and a loiva both passed away, and the yorshim of the malva come to collect from the yorshim of the loiva, and they have a document that says that the loiva owed their father the money. The halacha is that they have to make a shvua. What is the shvua that they have to make? Shvua shloi pekadnu abba, that our father did not tell us that this loan is paid up. Shloi amar lanu abba, that our father didn't tell us while he was healthy that this is a paid up document. Shloi mitzana ben shtayrasu shal abba, shishta zapruo, or that we did not find amongst the other documents of our father a receipt that it's paid up. But isn't this clearly an indication that had they found the receipt, that would be a proof that it's paid up? But Rabbi Yirmiya says that a shiver is not a proof that it was paid up. Again, says the Gemara, the same teretz. Amra papa, shenimtza ben shtaris kruin. Tashma, simpen. As we said, a simpen is a shiver. Sheyesh lov edim, that has on it two edim. The halacha is yiskayim b'chesamav. The Mishnah, it seems that what is the Brisa is teaching us, that if two edim signed the shiver, then the halacha is that the shiver is considered a kosher shiver, and the malva will not be able to say, I didn't get paid back. But Rabbi Yirmiya says that the possession of a shiver doesn't mean anything. Amar, says the Gemara, yiskayim mechesamav. It doesn't mean just two get the signatures verified. What it means is the Shalina Le Sade. So we asked the Edom, did you see Iperua Eloi Perua, that this loan was paid up? And if they're able to say that we saw this loan is paid up, then of course we'll accept that. Toshma, the Brisa says, Simpin Shiesh Olav Edom, a shiver that has on it Edom, is kosher, and you can't rely on it. Says the Gemara, my Edom, Edekiyim. When it means Shim Shesh Edom, it doesn't mean that they're verified. It means to say that you have this shiver was brought to Beis Din, and the people who are signed on it indicated that it was paid up. And says the Gemara, Hachin Nami Mistabra, that's the way to understand the Braisa. Minik Tonik Sefer, Shein Alav Edom Posel. Maya in Alav Edom. How will we define that? Ilay Medaleka Edom Klal, that there's no Edom signed on it. Of course, Srich Lamayim the Posel. A document without witnesses is meaningless. Elav, what it must be, that the Edekiyim to tell us if it was signed or not. Gufa tells us the Gemara, the Braisa teaches us, Shaver, the Simpan Sheshel of Edom, that you have Edekiyim, that have a Kai, that have Edom on it, Yiskayim B'chasamav. Since Beis Din went through making sure that the Shaver is accurate, we follow it. Ain't a love Edom, but if there are no Edom, V'yoytz Metachas Yad Shlish, it wasn't in the hands, not of the Loiva, not of the Malva, rather a third party, and the Shlish is fined. The finds this star, oy shiyotz lachachitim staris, even if it was written on the actual loan document, the loch is kosher. Says the marayotz b'taksiyat shlish, the hemni malva l'shlish. The fact that the malva allowed the shalish to hold the shiver is an indication that the loan was paid up, and if it was written yotz lachachitim staris nami, it was written on the bottom of the loan document. Diloy the priya. If not that it was paid up, the concern Rav Yirmiyah had is that maybe he pre-wrote the shiver. Nobody, says the Gemara, is going to write the shiver on the actual loan document unless it's really paid up. Because by writing it on the loan document, you're weakening the strength of that loan document. And no malva, lo have a marale l'shtare, would do so. Hadron lach shnayim maksim, hadron lach shnayim maksim, hadron lach shnayim maksim.